Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was going to do,
tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ford. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airwaves and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray those of you that were able to go out to various churches and attend various masses on today across this planet, I hope you had a beautiful time, and I know that God met you there. And those of you that wasn't able to get out and go to your own personal lives or desired church, we're asking you to just come aboard. We're cordially inviting you, just a cordial inviting for you to come aboard the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah, and allow me to minister unto you the word of God as God has directed me. Hallelujah. And so I want to take this opportunity to just send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, 24 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours, 5 hours, 30 minutes, seconds ago, even moments ago. And we do that to keep you encouraged. We want to always keep this on the forefront of your heart and your mind, that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, but that you have warriors, prayer warriors, pilgrims, travelers, that's praying for you and with you during your hour of a great loss. And we want you just to be encouraged. We pray that God will bring about joy and restoration unto your heart and your soul. These are another blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. Amen. All right. I'll be with you 60 minutes on the clock. And, of course, I will bring in you the second phase of our program. That is the Hymns of Zion. And I have the studio dial-up prayer call-in that you can call in if you have a particular prayer that you would want the Old Ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, or if you have any miracles that you want to share. But now I have put in place that the calls now are being monitored, you know, because of distortion, and I don't want anybody to come and, you know, just sabotage my program. So now I'm monitoring all the calls that come through. But if you have any prayer petitions that you would want to bring before the throne of God, you're welcome to do so. All right, now we're going to go into our opening prayer. Each time that we come across this podium, across this platform, we never fail to acknowledge the one that made all this possible. He is a holy deity, and I want to present to some and introduce to others. His identity is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. He's a deity that was, hallelujah, born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. In fact, I've just about lost my train of thought. But he's no longer in a cold grave, but he is alive and well. And he is sitting not on the left, not in the rear, not in the middle, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of his Father right now. And he's looking down on planet Earth. He's looking over the good as well as the not so good. And so we want you to just know that Jesus loves you on this morning. He cares all about you. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to congregate, God, around this planet on today. This day that wasn't promised to us, we didn't earn it, we couldn't buy it, but it was your grace and your mercy and your glory, God, that tapped each and every one this morning. And we are here because we answered to your roll call on this morning. And those of you that wasn't able to adhere to the roll call on this morning are now in their sleeping entombment chambers. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we pray for those that has been called unto the judgment seat of God. I've had some a loss myself this week, and so I'm sending condolences out to my family as well. And may God encourage your heart on today. But like I said, Father, we just thank you for allowing us to come together, God, and unite around this planet, God. We thank you for your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. And I'm asking you, oh gracious Heavenly Father, to enable me, hallelujah, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the parts of their iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one, God, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise, we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the cathedral faith of God people say amen and amen. And I want to welcome all of you to the Old Ship of Zion, the first-time listeners, and those of you that are continued listeners of this program. This is a digital live church program. This is what this is. So instead of you having to get in your clothes and your automobile and drive to a location, all you have to do is just come and sit down in the front of your digital device. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just beautiful that God allowed us, you know, to be able to spread his word right where we are? May you be in your palace. May you be in your townhouse. May you be in your mansion. Maybe you be in your castle. Maybe you be in your yacht, your apartment, your duplex, your tent, wherever you are on planet Earth. Thank God that you're alive to breathe God's oxygen into your body. God said, all things acknowledge him, and he shall direct yours and mine's in our path. Hallelujah. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program that's already in progression. And our sermon on this evening, this afternoon, whatever you want to call it, our sermon on this afternoon entitled Earthly Gold is Heavenly Asphalt. I'm going to say that one more time. Earthly gold, this gold that you and I, you know, love so well, that you go to the jewelers and purchase, that's the kind of gold I'm talking about. May it be a ring, a watch, bracelet, charm, brooch, necklace, whatever it is. I'm talking about gold. So we're talking about earthly gold is heaven's asphalt. And we're going to read from our first key scripture. And it reads like this. It says that The streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And I am reminded of a story about a miner who struck gold, and he carried his bag of nuggets with him everywhere he went. But one day, hallelujah, this miner died. And it was told that he went to heaven, still carrying his precious nuggets. But when he arrived, he was met by an angel. The angel asked him why was he carrying the asphalt. And then the miner replied that this isn't asphalt. He said, it is gold. To which the angel replied, he said that on earth it's called gold, but here in heaven we use it to pave our streets. Now, you know, it just take our mind back to the jewelers, where you and I would get so enthused and so elated and happy and excited over seeing precious jewels and diamonds and rubies and sapphires, hallelujah, every carat, gold and gold bars. But the angel has just said here that it's no need for you to try to carry your treasures up in heaven. I'm talking about those earthly treasures. I'm not talking about the heavenly treasures, but I'm talking about the earthly treasures. Because mind you, the miner carried his nuggets of gold into heaven. And he was approached by the angel who told him that what he thought was gold was actually asphalt for the heavenly streets. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that on earth it's called gold. But the angel replied, in heaven, we use it to pave streets. Now, granted, this was just a little story. But you can take this to heart and just think about heaven and then think about earth. Think about your possessions here on planet earth. Then think about your possessions that you lay up in heaven. We consider our valuables and what is truly valuable to God. But what impressed me most about Revelation 21 is the description of heaven's streets. The Bible tells us that it is pure gold like transparent glass. We know that we value gold as being the most precious of metal, and we use it, hallelujah, to make our most prized possessions. But we are told once again, in heaven, it will be what we will walk on. What a reversal. Can you imagine the things that we placed around our necks and around our wrists and our ankles and around our waist? Hallelujah. And around our heads, our headdress will be something that we walk on. We find out that the true things we should hold prized possession would be things that we lay up heavenly. We know that the things that we prize here on earth will not be so highly valued in heaven. The unnecessary things that we buy and we collect, like stock and portfolio and bank accounts and admiration and fame, hallelujah. We find out that when the time comes to bid this earth goodbye, what value they will have then. We know that our earthly possessions are temporary, but remember this, our true wealth is in heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We shouldn't value our earthly treasures as something that we just cannot part with. Because whether we lack it or not, excuse me, I have the sniffles on this evening. But I'm going on in Jesus' name. But the things that you and I hold most dear, we don't want to part with will not be highly valued in heaven. As a matter of fact, we cannot carry any of our earthly treasures into heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And you know, we are certain that the possessive assurance of this life to come, that Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 14 and 19. That's assurance, however, is often accompanied by another emotion, and that is curiosity. What will the next world really be like, you might ask? Even the inspired descriptions of the celestial dwelling that we have in the Bible, last books, are inadequate to convey what await you and I and us. Yet they do intensify our desire to leave this dark earthly existence and to enter that heavenly reality. We read about a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. The tree of life and no more curse in the law of Revelation 22 and 1 through 3. I want to ask you on this evening, what are your own reactions as you think about the life beyond this life? Perhaps you're not especially curious, but you're blessed with the certainty of heaven, which you can have by faith in Jesus. Think of the words he spoke at the grave of Lazarus. I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 11 and 25. Promise that the foundation of your certainty, you can make it so by believing in Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. I'm here to encourage your heart on this evening. And that is, hallelujah, what you do with Jesus now will determine what he will do with you and I and us later. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We shouldn't have anything that is so precious to us that we can't depart from it, because everything we have is temporary. Everything that we have is a gift from God. We didn't bring anything in this world. We didn't bring anything on this earth. And as surely as I am speaking, we will not carry anything out. Not your car keys, not your Lamborghini, not your mansion, not your yacht, not all your billions of cash or currency, not all your gold and your gold bars, your meat coats, your star that's on the Hollywood Hall of Fame, Walk of Fame, but you will go empty-handed. You will not have your purse. And the Bible says that if you are on the roof, you are not to get down and try to go back and retrieve anything, because that might be the time that Jesus comes and rapture his bride, and there you will be left behind. So there's no need to say, oh, Jesus, and I need to get my purse. Lord, I need to go back and get my watch. I need to go back and get my wallet. I got my currency in there, got my credit cards in there. Lord, I got to go back and get my meat coat. I got to go back and get my mink hat. I got to go back and get those pictures of grandmother or grandfather, my son or daughter. But it's only what you and I lay up in heaven that will mount to anything, any spiritual thing at that. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we're going to move on. We're going to read our second key scripture. And it reads this, hallelujah. It says that now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So we can see Jesus dimly right now because we can't physically see him. But we could see him in a spiritual realm. But when we get to glory, we'll be able to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Perhaps you know someone who didn't receive the inheritance intended by a parent because of a faulty will. Hallelujah. We're told about an attorney. He said that if you want your estate to go to a chosen recipient instead of two members of the legal profession, you should avoid to do it yourself will. Such documents are usually legal, but they are often unclear and fail to make provision for unforeseen situations. They advise you and I having a form of will to be sure your wishes are carried out. A man-made will can fail. But there is no ambiguous language about the inheritance that God has in store for you and I and us. We know that the Apostle Peter affirmed that God has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you and I and us. 1 Peter 1 and 3 through 4. No fluctuation in the economy can reduce this inheritance. It is not subject to review by the courts, nor to debate by squabbling families. No amount of suffering or trials can diminish or change what God has in store for you and I and us. We find out that our inheritance is certain and eternity. In the law of Hebrews 9 and 15, as you and I and us, as we live for him, we are assured that his will for our lives today is good and acceptable and perfect. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 12 and 2. We know that our Christian inheritance is guaranteed to you and I know forever and ever. So instead of accumulating all of these, I call them toys, that you accumulate here on earth, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but yet lose his soul? For it profit you not. Hallelujah, Jesus. In this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 2. And we're told that at least a dozen of multimillionaires have left money to themselves in hope of being brought back to life. These immortality seekers have arranged to be cryogenically frozen. They have also put their wealth into personal revival trusts, which they believe will be waiting for them when scientists resuscitate them in the future. But I'm here to set the record straight. Even if resuscitation were possible, to seek eternal apart from the one who is immortal is to chase an elusive dream. We find out that Paul affirmed that the Lord alone is the resource of immortality. excuse me. He is everlasting in his character and his action. The human being, however, death is universal, inevitable, and ultimately lead to judgment. This is all a result of our sin. And it can be centered only, counted only, by the redemption through Jesus Christ. Through his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of death and showed humanity the way to immortality. We know that our response to our mortality should not be to preserve our physical bodies through cryogenics, but to be ready for our own death by receiving the gift of eternal life in Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can make sure right now that you have eternal life with Jesus by confessing to God that you are a sinner. You believe Jesus died in your place for forgiveness and eternal life. And when you ask God to forgive you of all the sins that you have committed before thee, God will put your sins in the sea of forgiveness and to remember them anymore. Hallelujah. We know that faith in Jesus is the only way to God. So what are you going to do with him? Will you allow philosopher deceiving words to make you mistrust the Savior? Will you permit a translator to trick you, to cause you to reject Jesus? Will you let the musing of mere human carry more weight than the message of Almighty God? I plead with you on today. Please don't take Jesus at his word. Put your faith in his sacrifice for your sins on the cross of Calvary. You'll find the joy that comes from being set free from the penalty of sin. What will you do with Jesus? This is the most important question you will ever answer. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. If Jesus should come today, if he should come right now, would you be ready? Jesus has blessed you beyond measures. You've got everything that you could ever need here on planet Earth. But you don't have that heavenly treasure that's laid up in glory. The Bible says that don't lay your possessions where thieves can break in, moth can eat away. Hallelujah, at your possession. But he said, lay your possessions up in heaven. We know that up in heaven, it would be no thieves hanging around up near heaven. Won't be any intruders. Moth will not eat away at your spiritual treasures that you lay up in heaven. Talking about that lifestyle of Jesus Christ is what I'm talking about. When I say laid up treasures, because the Bible says that every deed that has been done in this mortal body will be put on display for the whole world to see. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and press toward the goal. That's coming out of the law of Philippians 3:13-14. You know, some people have trouble looking ahead. Hope because they keep looking back and moping over the mistakes of the past. Their eye look for the future's dim. Their enthusiasm is dampened. But I want to tell you, there is no use of crying over spilled milk. History is likely to repeat itself if they keep on brooding over failures of the old year, continue complaining about the injustice they suffer during the last 12 months. Nothing is gained by continuing grieving over the past. But you can begin by confessing your sins to the Lord and accepting the gracious forgiveness he offers. In the law of 1 John 1:9-10, make right what needs correcting, and then forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on with confidence and trust in your Heavenly Father. That was Paul's secret, and it worked. He says, let's stop looking back and broaden over the past failures. Rather, with a far look, let's move ahead with hope and joy. What mistakes in the past are still burdening you on today? Have you confessed them to God and accepted his complete forgiveness? If you have not, I encourage you to do so right now. And when you do, your future will hold great promises. Because instead of living in the shadow of yesterday, you and I and us must walk in the light of today and the hope of tomorrow. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Only what you and I do for God is going to amount to anything. Because all that we have right now is temporary. God allowed us to enjoy it and partake of. But we shouldn't love it more than we love God. Because God is the one that made it possible for us to enjoy in the first place. God is the one that made these things that we could enjoy. Our homes, our fine cars, our clothing, our jewelry, our children, our husbands, our wives, our mothers, our fathers, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, our colleagues, our business partners, our kingdom family, our guests, our friends. These are people that God has put in our lives to enrich our lives, to encourage our hearts. So we shouldn't not lock Jesus out of our lives. Because everything here on planet Earth, everything from the stock market, Dow Jones, the banks, the finance institutions, everything belong to God. The Bible says God giveth and God taketh. And blessed be the name of the Lord. So we know that nothing is promised here on earth. Only the promise of heaven. And that is, if we live according to God's will and his command. You know, in order to see those loved ones that's gone on before, those set of parents that you know that knew God, that lived upright and holy lifestyle before man and before God. You know without a shadow of a doubt that your parent knew God. And you say you want to see your parents. You say you want to see that son or daughter, that niece or nephew, that aunt or that uncle, those grandparents, those friends, your doctor, your lawyer, your care provider. Well, the only way you can see those individuals is live like they live. And that is, live the life of Christ. The Bible says, come from among ye and be separated, says the Lord. Most of the things that you and I worry about have no eternal significance. We know that in the law of Hebrews, it was concerned about, I pursue this book to keep our eyes focused on heaven and away from earth. And we know that unless our minds are on heaven and away from earth, we will have little eternal influence on earth. The Bible says that we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Because when you change over your way of living, your lifestyle, your vocabulary, then you've taken on spiritual demeanor where God will come in and reside in that heavenly residential heart of yours. If our minds are still on the earthly thing, you won't have no impact on anybody, on winning any souls to God. But we must get our mind off earthly things and start laying up treasures up in heaven. That's what we're talking about. When we said that earthly gold is heaven's asphalt, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about our prized possessions. We're talking about the riches of this earth. It can't even compare to the splendor of heaven. Nothing that you've seen here on planet earth can even come close. You might say, well, Overseer Ward, I've seen a mansion that just was breathtaking. I've seen a car that was out of this world. I've seen a diamond that was as big as your hand. But I'm here to tell you, it's only temporary. The Bible says that this earth is going to pass away. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. He says to keep your eyes focused on heaven and away from earth. There will come a time when this earth will be shaken. The things that once seemed permanent will be gone. That's coming out of the love of Hebrews 12 and 27. I want to ask you on today what you most fear today. Will be forgotten like yesterday's headline. What really matters is what you do today that has a torch of eternity about it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, the word of God, tell us. Oh, for a heart that is willing to serve, laboring while it's day. Nothing is lost that is done for the Lord. Jesus will reward and he will repay. The one who lives for this life only will have eternity to regret. I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator has been Overseer Janice Ward. You can log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. We're going to open the lines prayer call up. Have any prayer petitions that you would want the Oship of Zion to pray with you and place it before the feet of God. You're encouraged to call in. If you have any miracles that you want to tell us about, you're welcome to call in. And all calls are monitored. And if there will be any prayer petitions, we will now change the dynamics of this program. Till we meet again across these airwaves and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your wheel because he is people friendly. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. You be blessed till we meet again. Bye for now. Everybody go free.
Thank you. Yeah. nobody's self. Still I have a little chest of beef. Grand River tonight to let you know no fault, sure ain't gonna get no crime.